Hello, this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief of Directions Magazine. Welcome to a special exclusive interview with Digital Globe founder, Vice President, and Chief Technology Officer, Dr. Walter Scott. With the impending merger of Digital Globe and GeoEye, I sat down with Dr. Scott in his office in Longmont, Colorado, to get his perspective on where Digital Globe is headed and looking at where the company needs to grow despite the current budget situation in Washington, D.C., and how it looks at technology such as small satellites. I hope you enjoy the interview.
So what, if any, visibility have you been given about the Enhanced View contract going forward that would allow Digital Globe satellites to continue, and whether you need both constellations that are up there currently?
So we were notified, as I think you're aware, of the extension of the third year of the Enhanced View contract. I think you're also aware from watching Washington, D.C., that there's probably not going to be a budget this year. So the FY14 budget is something that, if I had to bet, I would say would happen sometime after the election. So there really isn't much more that I can comment on relative to that. It is obviously a budget-constrained environment, but as you've heard me say in a variety of forums in the past, commercial imagery is something that is offering an incredible amount of value. And you know, when you take the combined constellations of the two companies together, combine that with the analytics capability and the value-added production capability, I think you have something that's not only very powerful, but also very compelling for the U.S. government, because it takes something that is imagery, which in and of itself is valuable, and it combines it with the ability to make that imagery more useful and more relevant. One example of that is EGD. Are you familiar with EGD, Enhanced Geo and Delivery? That's a vehicle that essentially takes imagery, orthorectifies the imagery, puts it on a cloud services or web services platform, and makes it available to users around the world.
Yeah.
So that's an example of one of the things that enables commercial imagery to become even more valuable.
And was that an NGA-related directive, or that's just something you're doing in terms of putting
it out
there?
Digital Globe had back, gosh, I forgot how many years ago it was, we acquired Globe Explorer. Globe Explorer had some of the foundational technology for enabling the web serving of imagery. And over time, that became a variety of instantiations, one of which is EGD for NGA, which is part of Digital Globe Cloud Services. Mm-hmm. So it's, if you will, it's a piece of an overall roadmap. The overall vision is yeah, it's pretty simple. It's get usable information in the hands of users and recognize that we've crossed a threshold in terms of volume of data that, you know, you can't carpet bomb your customers with pixels anymore. Mm. You've got to make it much more usable and accessible to them, not just the imagery, but also the ability to pull out products that are derived from the imagery, whether it's elevation data, bathymetric data, which is on the board behind you, or any variety of other forms of extracted information.
So let me ask you about the derived imagery, and you brought up analysis. That was one of my questions as well, was, you know, GeoEye bought SPADAC a while ago strictly for analysis. Is that going to be part of the business model as well? Is it going to be services related to analytics as opposed to just being an imagery provider?
Well, we think that the you know, there are a number of compelling reasons for having done the combination, and analytics is one of those, along with value-added products. So the answer is yes. In terms of specificity, I can't get a lot more specific than that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go into geek mode for a moment and say that one of the things that I find very exciting about both the analytics capability that GeoEye brings and more broadly the opportunity that's presented by, you know, what you hear people talk about, big data, which is grinding through large data sets. Imagery is one of the larger data sets that's out there. And it fits very nicely into some of the big data analytics models where fundamentally, big data analytics is about looking at a bunch of data that's way more than a human could gather to look for patterns. to look for patterns that you might not otherwise be able to detect. So that's something that excites me.
Okay. So right on those same lines, you're right. Satellite imagery has always been big data. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, you got to crunch through the pixels. But what's derived from that is the challenging part. Change detection mm-hmm. is one of those things. Integrating it with other image sources, I'm thinking of persistent surveillance, video. Is that going to be something that Digital Globe will get more into? Either delivering an end product that says, look at this change, it's different from here, this is where you should focus. And then bringing in other image formats, and I'm thinking video is one of the things where there's a wonderful vision. I haven't seen it carried out yet. So it's kind of the way. How do you look at yourself? Do you look at yourself as broadly satellite company, or are you going to get into other forms of imagery?
We've been pretty open about our vision. Our vision is to become the indispensable source of information about our changing planet. Imagery doesn't appear in that vision.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
if that answers the question.
It's pretty broad.
Yeah.
Now, what form that's going to manifest itself in, I'm not really prepared to say. There's a bunch of stuff that's going on in the background that, you'll start to see as it gradually gets released that relates to that vision.
Well, one of the things that looks like a wonderful vision is to incorporate unmanned aerial systems. And that's not something that has been in the purview of Digital Globe in the past. Mm-hmm. What do you see, either from a Digital Globe perspective or from a more geeky perspective of what that, what would that lead to in the geospatial marketplace?
Well, I don't know yet. I think the question you're really asking is mixing what has historically been the core competency of companies like Digital Globe, which is global coverage, wide area coverage, the ability to get anywhere on the planet to repeat coverage, but it's not persistent in the sense that you're not parked over a particular spot looking for a long period of time. What you're describing is merging that global data set with one that represents a higher degree of persistence.
Mm-hmm.
I have my thoughts about that. I think it's interesting. I can't be very specific about what I think that means to us or when it means something to us. So I'm just not going to go very far there other than to say, you're right, it's an interesting data set. And if you move it into the realm of big data analytics, you combine global coverage, which is essentially letting you see the Earth as an integrated picture, with persistent surveillance, which is allowing you to see specific areas in a much more temporally focused fashion. I think there's a there. I just can't be specific as to what it is. That's not because it's a secret. To some extent, there's a mystery involved in that as well.
Yeah.
That's the unknown.
Well, and the reason it comes up is that, there's always this disconnect between, what the media will show you, which is a static satellite image if you're going to zoom in on downtown Baghdad, and what the public or the consuming media will want to see, which is, I want to see what's going on now in downtown Cairo because there's all these demonstrations. Mm-hmm. And satellites are parked up there looking down.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that one of those products that looks like it's viable for anybody?
Well, I can talk about the technology side. We have already demonstrated the ability to, in one of our flyovers, take what is essentially pseudo video of a downtown area. You may have seen some of those what are called multi shots, mm-hmm. where we took like a minute long snapshot over Beijing during the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and so you're getting moving data. So technical capabilities there, even from satellite. Now, satellite's now moved on, so you're not getting that one-minute snapshot followed by another one-minute snapshot 1 minute later.
Okay. Well, I guess where I'm going with the whole line of questioning is on this ability to have repeat coverage with a larger constellation, mm-hmm. Whether it's GI or DigiGlobe, and being able to provide products and whether those products are really marketable at this point, you know, because I think there is a perception that we want to get closer and closer to real-time imagery. And, you know, the media can't really deliver that right now. And whether that's even viable for the geospatial professional. Do they want more and more data?
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that specific question. I think the broader question that you're asking, where I feel more comfortable answering, is there more to the geospatial data picture from DigiGlobe than imagery? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. Okay. There's definitely more to that. And you're starting to see examples of that already. You saw, for example, the monitoring of oil tanks for Cushing, Oklahoma, where we would measure the amount of oil stored in floating top oil storage tanks. And there are several other projects we're engaged in, we haven't talked about yet, that involve similar kinds of monitoring of activity around the world. Think about it in these terms. The historical use model for satellite imagery has been, show me there. Google Earth is a great example of that. I know where I want to look. Show me what's going on there. But the global coverage of satellites actually enables a different use case, which is show me where. Show me where I need to be paying attention. Show me where there has been the most growth in, for example, urban construction. Show me where there has been the biggest traffic bottleneck. Show me where there has been the most damage following the tsunami. And that's a use case that, with enough revisit, the industry is now beginning to be equipped to address. And that's one that excites me.
Because of what? Better resolution, spatial, spectral?
Because of capacity, revisit, and the ability to process large amounts of data. I mean, if you look at the Moore's Law compute cost curve, storage cost curve, we've seen some tremendous advances in the last few years. One that I've talked about on a number of occasions is the use of graphic processing units, which are, you know, kids' video games. And we're seeing 100-fold or more improvements in the speed of certain critical operations. So it means that it's actually practical to start throwing compute power at massive amounts of imagery and pulling out interesting things.
My concern is that you've got so much capacity on the satellites that are up there. You've got high resolution, you know, down to half-meter resolution, spatial resolution. You've got narrow band, spectral bands up there. It's one thing to have capacity. It's another thing to deliver the information out of that imagery.
Right.
So what does it look like down the road to you in terms of being able to make your customers aware of what's possible? I don't think I don't think either DigiGlobe or GI has done a great job in articulating the value in the spatial or spectral products that you can get. You know, we've been really tunnel vision into what the geospatial professional can use. Beyond that, we've probably not done a great job.
What you're beginning to see are other applications that are outside of the geospatial professional realm. An example of that is DigiGlobe has announced a partnership with Genscape, which is providing information for essentially the energy industry. That's less about pictures, and it's more about information to the end customer. So you're beginning to see that. It's still, I think, relatively early stages, but to your point, those are the sorts of applications that are beginning to take advantage of the real power of satellite imagery, which is not just a pretty picture, but it's, what does this pretty picture mean?
And how about the other side? Let's say spectral resolution. There was some vision a couple years ago that, well, we're going to use satellites to look at the reflected radiance off of housetops so that they can justify whether to buy solar panels. Is that still even practical, or was one of those pie-in-the-sky things that you think we need to do?
Don't know so much about the reflected radiance off of house rooftops, but in terms of using satellite imagery to characterize are sites good for a particular purpose, I believe hasn't GUI done some work in that area?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, there are examples that are out there. I think another example on the spectral domain is if you flip your head around, that's a bathymetric chart, and that was developed using spectral information, where the 8 spectral bands on WorldView 2 allow us to extract depth contours based on the different absorption of light
going through
the water surface.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So there's an example of that is a non-traditional product. That's not something where you think, you know, normally you look at the water and the water is the water. Well, this is an example where you look at the water and actually what you're getting is a map of the bottom of the water.
Yeah, right. Yeah. My feeling is that we haven't done a great job of maybe getting to the end product. If I can bind certain bands, and with more spectral capability coming, mm-hmm. you know, going into thermal and then just narrower visible bands, I just wonder whether we're not doing a better job of educating people on what you can do. I mean, why would you want false color versus natural color, which is such a basic problem for the geospatial professional, but not so much for the consuming public. And I guess the real issue is with the Google effect, right? Now people understand what satellite imagery is. They may not know everything that satellite imagery can do for them.
Yeah, I think what you've seen as a result of the billion plus users of Google out there is that there's now an awareness of the show me there case. The people understand I can look at a satellite image and understand what that satellite image is showing me in the same way that I would look outside the window and understand what that's showing me. But it's still in the context of as a picture. There are emerging classes of users who are not geospatial professionals who can begin to derive nonetheless information from satellite imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically through people who provide them that information today, who are now beginning to use satellite imagery as part of that. Genscape was an example that I gave.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some work with Bloomberg as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the venues for getting satellite information. It's not, here's a picture, good luck, but rather, here's how much oil is stored in this particular location.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's what we're seeing in terms of construction activity on this facility and when it is likely to go live.
Okay.
So those are pieces of information as opposed to pictures. In fact, a picture may not even be part of the final product.
So it's some sort of derivative product that you want to get there.
Information.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just ask you one other kind of segue into something else. Small satellites.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, WorldView 2 is a 5,700-pound payload.
Mm-hmm.
What do you look at in terms of something under 1,000 pounds, 500-pound payload, small sat, small Earth observation systems? What's that look like 5 years from now?
You're certainly aware of what Skybox is doing, and Skybox is one of the ventures that's pursuing small sats. There's the DMC constellation, the disaster monitoring constellation. One of the things that you fundamentally face with size is that resolution, how small a detail you can see, is a function of the size of your telescope and how close you are to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So for a given amount of resolution, that says you got to have a telescope of a certain size unless you want to put wings on your satellite and fly it in an airplane instead
mm-hmm.
of flying it in space. So there's a fundamental limit on what small sats can do in terms of resolution. Having said that, I suspect from the spectral side, small sats maybe will offer some interesting capabilities
mm-hmm.
because the resolution that's required for spectral coverage generally is not as high as the resolution required for panchromatic.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit too early to tell. Recognize that you're talking to somebody who sort of started his career in small satellites, and if you actually look at QuickBird was not quite a small satellite, but it was about a one-ton satellite, so it's a lot smaller than the ones that we're flying right now.
Yeah, it just seems like that could be one of those product differentiators that is down the road where, you put a different sensor up there, whether it's an imaging sensor or some other type of Earth observation sensor, that Digital Globe as a company wants to grow and, as you said, can, be a provider of information, one of those avenues that you might pursue.
Yeah, interesting. It's technologically quite interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think the other thing that I'll say is that it's really been interesting from my perspective over the last 20 years watching how the technology for doing things both in space and on the ground has matured tremendously since 1992. Think back to 1992, the computers that you were using were a tiny fraction of the power of that of that laptop. The internet was still more hypothetical than it was real. It was the ARPANET. And satellite technology was just beginning to reach the point where satellites were affordable for mere mortals like companies as opposed to requiring the resources of the government to build the satellite. And roll the clock forward 20 years. Modern electronics has enabled a lot. That's actually one of the things that's enabled miniaturization of satellites and then the ability to process large amounts of information on the ground. So, we watch those trends and we do things that are new, like incorporating shortwave infrared on WorldView 3. You can expect us to continue to do things new in the future.
Good. It's your place to stop.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Good day.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Magazine podcast. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.